This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Is there a place for favoritism in the church? There seems to be a lot of it. We're going to talk about that in a sermon this Sunday. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have redeemed us in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But make us aware that you have not only made us members of your kingdom through Christ, but that you are anxious to have us grow in our relationship with you and our fellow men. We thank you for your word that points out our sins, and today we ask that you will lead and guide and direct us in discussing this whole matter of favoritism. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of James, beginning with verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who loved him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble man of him to whom you belong? Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy bones prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast taught us thine beyond. Blessed Jesus.
Friends in Christ, our city has been blessed the last few years with buildings that make it a nicer place in which to live. There is a new library, a fine arts building, and two athletic facilities. I don't believe that any of these buildings would have become a reality if it had not been for large gifts from wealthy people with generous hearts. I believe the community is correct in making their gifts known and in some way giving these major donors recognition. It would be proper that favoritism is to be shown to those friends by identifying the buildings with their names or by reserving the best seats in the house for them to use when they come to the particular event. Perhaps their generosity will inspire other wealthy people to share some of their money with the community or other parts of the world. So we can say, at least I say, and maybe I'm wrong, but it's my feeling, that we can draw a distinction here between recognizing great things that happen in the community by certain people and what happens in the Church of Jesus Christ. In our text today, James writes, "My brothers, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but then you say to the poor man, 'You stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Here James is talking about favoritism in the church. And that is quite different from recognition in the community. You notice how James begins this portion of Scripture. "My brothers, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." In other words, what he is saying is that for those who have been redeemed by trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, God can expect a different kind of life. And James circled around in his particular congregation there in Jerusalem, and he saw some favoritism. And so he writes about it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. James is used by God to make the believer's lifestyle more Christ-like. God has created all of us in His image. When we fell in sin, He sent His Son to die as a payment for our sins. For those who have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, He has made His children and has called us to be His ambassadors to bring the message of salvation to the world. In God's eyes, all people are important because of who they are and not by what they have accomplished. The gift of a philanthropist can be acknowledged in the community, but it does not make him more precious in God's eyes, nor should he be treated with favoritism in the Church of Jesus Christ because of his social status and his generous spirit. I wonder if James is detecting favoritism in the early church, is not there yet today. It seems to me that we are all guilty in the church of showing some favoritism. I know that I find myself guilty of that from time to time. That is, that a special worth seems to be assigned to certain people in the church for sundry reasons. Let me give you a few examples to show how it can hurt. 50 years ago, the members of the congregation I served often celebrated with large dinners and elaborate open houses when a son or a daughter was confirmed. We got invitations to these great events. My wife was very careful to write down the invitations as we received them, and then we visited the families in the order that these invitations were received. Our first visit was to a dinner at the home of a confirmation student whose parents were very affluent, and they lived in a large, expensive home. Another invitation came from a family with meager means and who lived in a very modest house. She asked if we would come to dinner. My wife explained that we had accepted an invitation to dinner, but we would be delighted to come later on in the day. Perhaps we could come for supper. When we arrived at the supper hour, the mother announced to the other guests who were sitting around the table that in our church, we have a pastor for the poor and another pastor for the rich. Then she said, We could not have the senior pastor for dinner, but he was willing to come for supper. Both my wife and I were crushed. While we were innocent in this case, the woman had expressed a hurt that must have come from times gone by. We couldn't brush that off. Oh, we laughed it off with the group there at the dinner. But during the week, I had to go visit that family and to tell them how badly we felt that they were of the opinion that we were showing favoritism. I told them that we loved them, and we wanted to be the pastor of every member of that congregation. There were no favorites. The mother listened to me and graciously apologized for her remark, but then she began to weep. She assured me that it was nothing we had done, but through their many years in the congregation, they had felt like second-class members. They had never been asked to help in the Sunday school, a thing that they really wanted to do. They had never served on a committee of any importance in the congregation. She said those opportunities were given to the more prominent members in the church, those whose families had been members for many years, and those who were larger contributors. Shortly after that visit, we received into our congregation 50 or more new members. After the service, the day that they were received into the membership, a lady said to me, "Isn't it thrilling to have all of these people? And to think that Dr. So-and-so and his family, who have just moved to town, will be members of our congregation now. Isn't that wonderful?" This doctor was a noted physician. My reply was short and to the point. "Yes," I said, "the Lord loves Dr. So-and-so, and I hope we can feed him and his family with God's word and give them an opportunity to serve the Lord through our congregation. But you know, I'm just as thrilled to have the other 48 people become part of the fellowship and pray that they will be fed in this congregation too and become living witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ." I had learned just a few days before how easily you can hurt people. The hurt mother of the confirmation student had interpreted God's word to me in such a way that I haven't forgotten it 50 years later. And James comes alive when he says, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. It is one thing to acknowledge large gifts in the community, but there is no place for favoritism in the church. James continues on and he says, "Now listen, brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith, and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who loved him? But you have insulted the poor." Now think about it. Why did God choose Mary to be the mother of Christ in the flesh? Why was it not the daughter of some prominent leader? Mary was an unknown. Her family, without a doubt, had no particular social status. Why didn't he go to even a person like King Herod, who might have had a daughter, and said, "I would like to use her to become the mother of the God incarnate"? Perhaps he would have gotten along a little bit better. But there was no favoritism with Jesus. Why did Jesus choose the disciples as he did? They were not the prestigious leaders of society in his day. Matthew was a tax collector. James and John, Peter and Andrew were fishermen, and I'm not sure what the others did before becoming disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would it not have been better, would the disciples not have been accepted better by the populace had they come from some of the established positions in the city of Jerusalem? But he chose the ordinary person, and James reminds us of it. He looked for people with certain abilities, with personalities that he could use in different assignments. But knowing that each one was equally as precious to his Father as the other. While Jesus showed no favoritism among his people, he realized that some had different talents and they would be used in that way. Some were more extroverted. Perhaps some had more leadership ability. Peter was more of a leader than his brother Andrew and was used in this way, but this by no means gave him preferential treatment as far as Jesus was concerned. St. Paul was a dynamic leader in the early church. He was a person who you turned to. He was God's chosen one as far as bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. But Paul got no more favoritism than his co-worker, Silas. That's the point. Consider a loving family who has many children. And I think especially you can go to the mother. The children are all different. Some have talents in athletics, others in the academics, still others in music, and along comes another one who is quite handicapped. And you have to try to figure out where his or her talent is. But in that family, in that mother's heart, there can be no favoritism. Rose Kennedy has won my admiration, and I'm sure is admired by the millions in our world. I've read many articles on this great woman. She had a son who became the President of the United States. She had two sons who had served in the United States Senate. She had several daughters who have been leaders in their own rights, and one who had been born with mild, handicapped features. Today, she lives in a care center. Rose Kennedy loved them all equally, not least her daughter with limited ability. I'm sure that Rose Kennedy enjoyed going and visiting her son when he was occupying the White House. But I wonder if she wasn't just as excited when she went to the house where her handicapped daughter was living and could spend some time with her. You see, friend, this is very important, this text, because in a secular society, to show no favoritism is pure nonsense. We wine and dine those who have the ability to do us or the cause we represent some good. We operate with the philosophy, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. And because we are a part of this old world, it hardens us. And we carry that favoritism wherever we go, sometimes into our families, and sometimes into the church. It is because we live in this culture that James warns us that there shall be none of this in the church of Jesus Christ. So once more, the inspired writer says, and listen well, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, pray God for grace not to show favoritism. Amen.
In Christ there is no peace, or where sin him no south or north, but one
Join hands and brothers of the faith, whate'er your race may be. Who serves my Father as a son is surely kin to me. In Christ now meet both east and west, in him meet south and north. All Christ's souls are one in him throughout the whole wide earth.
God in heaven, we pray today for those who are afflicted in one way or another. We think in a very special way of those who have lost everything through this terrible catastrophe in the Indian Ocean. Lord, be with them all, and grant that they may understand that it is your grace that is still sufficient as you move the hearts of other people to reach out and help them. In your blessed name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. We are thankful for your prayerful and financial support, which enable us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your gifts enable us to buy time on 16 radio stations in 9 states across the country and worldwide on the Internet. Send your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Reverend Larson, as well as other interesting information concerning Christian Crusaders. The upcoming issue is centered on the theme of hope. To receive this special mailing, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.